Welcome to Necessary Roughness. I'm your host, Tony Shuck. With me, as always, Logan Massaro. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Tony. How are you today?
I'm doing good, man. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I had a great Thanksgiving. Been waiting all week to get back in here and give you some business.
Nice. I'm looking forward to it. By the way, we are live on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado Studios, covering Media School Studios. Ben, how you doing in the booth, man?
I'm doing pretty good.
That's good. Ben's borrowing a car again. If anyone wants to donate to Ben Needs a Car, come see us at Colorado Media School.
Please.
You're more than welcome to donate to my cause. My pockets are just a little short cause.
That's right. Any sponsors listening, just, you know, hook us up.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Just give us a phone call.
That's right.
All of us love
303-937-6548. You won't call, but
donate.
I appreciate
today.
The effort. Anyway, we got a huge show today. It's a lot of Broncos talk, which, you know, normally would make me upset because I don't care about the Broncos, but they lost, so I'm happy today. I'm happy that I get a poo-poo on the Broncos.
Tony takes every opportunity he can to talk trash about the Broncos, just because, like I say every single week to you guys, and even on my other show as well, Tony's a hater, everybody.
I am a hater. If you guys listen to his other show, by the way, and I know we're going long with this open, but if you listen to Logan's other show, it's Between the Hashes on Saturdays at 2, correct?
At 2, 1 to 3.
1 to 3, sorry. Yep. 2's about the time I normally tune in. And the reason why is they do a nice little segment, and you guys should join on their Facebook, and it's called, they ask you guys questions, and they want your feedback on there. I'm the hater Tony they keep talking about.
He's the one.
Tony who's always pooping all over the Denver Broncos. So,
if you guys listen to this show, you already knew Tony was a hater, so
That's true.
It just adds to the profile.
I get to drink a big old Nalgene bottle worth of Haterade every single day right before the show.
He does. Well, Ben, let's get into it. We went a little long with the intro there. Let's see what we got to talk about for our first topic.
All right, so our first topic today is the Broncos lost to their division rivals, the Kansas City Chiefs, in one hell of a game, apparently. Did Coach Kubiak lose the game for his team by sending in the kicker for a 62-yard boot?
All right. Personally, I think Kubiak definitely did lose the Broncos this game because the Broncos had a chance to not lose the game. If he doesn't kick or attempt to kick the field goal right there and he sends his punting unit out onto the field, there's a pretty decent chance that the Broncos defense, who had held KC for three quarters at bay for the most part, there was a good chance that the Broncos were going to get the ball, another opportunity to go down the field and score, even if time had run out. Personally, I think the tie is much, much better in any situation for the Broncos. Now, you know, if you've listened in the past or if you've listened to my other show, I'm not a huge fan of games in the NFL ending in a tie. This is an exception. First of all, it's the team I root for, and it helps them in the standings. Second of all, this, I call it a must win, but I don't think this was a must win for the Broncos. They were 7-3 at the time. All the other teams in their division were just deadlocked at one spot. And the Broncos, if they had the tie, stick with the Kansas City Chiefs, and then it just comes down to divisional wins, which it's a lot better to try to play that out at the end of the year than to take the head-to-head record, which now they've already lost once to Kansas City, and they have to play them the second time in Arrowhead. That's not an easy place to play. If the Broncos go 0-2 against Kansas City, it's not going to bode for their playoff hopes very well. So I think Gary Kubiak would have been better in this situation just sending the punting unit out onto the field, hoping the defense can come up big and make the play to get them the ball back. And if they can, it ends in a tie. Well, you got some upset fans, but at the end of the day, you're still not as far out of the playoffs as you are at this moment in the week. I personally think it would have been the better move to just send the punting unit out, maybe play for the tie or play for the defensive win.
So I'm going to use a quote everyone's using, but it's perfect for it. And Herm Edwards obviously said it best. You play to win the game. That's it. You only play to win, else why are you playing? And this is a division where you need wins. And I have to disagree with you in this aspect of it. Well, actually a lot of aspects of it, but I'm going to start with this one. You can't afford a tie because your division's too close. You've got the Raiders in front right now at a 9-2 record, and you were tied with Chiefs at the time, right? So a tie actually puts you a game and a half back. The Raiders were rooting for a tie because it gave them the clearest advantage to winning the AFC West. So Kubiak only had one choice. He had to try to play to win. Now, McManus had told him before the game, I've been making them from 60 out. Everything was in his favor. You're at altitude. It was cold. The ball can travel far. And quite honestly, it had the distance. It just hooked hard to the left.
It was an ugly-looking kick.
What I won't disagree with you is this. If you want to play conservatively, then yes, you should have punted the ball. There wasn't another option. And the announcers during the game, and why I bring it up, said that, well, do you go for it on fourth down? No. Your offense has played very poorly. Simeon actually played a fairly good game. This was one of the most competitive games I've probably ever seen. Despite the ties that we've had in the past, this was a compelling game. Defensively, it was amazing. And that's what I'm going to hinge my aspect on. The Denver Broncos played lights out defense. There were two series that I remember seeing where Alex Smith got sacked three consecutive times, ending a drive. So if you're Gary Kubiak, you have the number four defense in the league. You have to go for it. You have to trust in who you have. Because the rest of your schedule suspect. The rest of your schedule, you've got one gimme game in Jacksonville, which could end up being a trap game because Jacksonville's looked good as of late. Not great. Don't call me to tell me I'm stupid. I know that they're not a playoff contender, but they're competitive. They're getting their rhythm at the end of the year, as they always do, just enough to get like the fifth pick in the draft.
And their defense is quite overlooked. That secondary is a pretty good secondary. The Jaguars as a team don't look very good, but they do have some real players on defense.
For sure. So it's not a gimme game. Then you go, and that's at Jacksonville, and then you play at Tennessee. Tennessee's up and coming right now. They've looked phenomenal in the AFC South, competing against Houston for, well, I actually think they could steal that division right there. I think they could steal the NFC, or the AFC South. Then you got New England at home. That's a no gimme game. Like, that's going to be a tough game. If you're going to win, you're going to have to be lights out. Von Miller. Von Miller needs to be the Von Miller played against the Chiefs, because that dude was lights out.
Yep.
Then you jump to Oakland. Oakland's the best road team in the league right now. They're 5-0 on the road. So this was a must win. He had to find a way to get it, because the tie was probably going to not only lose him the division, but lose him a wild card spot, which we'll get into the wild card race in one of the later segments in here. But I don't blame him for it, because you need the win, and on top of it, you have a defense that had pretty much been shutout defense for the most of that game. So that's what you're known for. Put it on the defense and ride out with a win.
Well, Tony, here's why you're wrong. You just mentioned to me Brandon McManus said he can hit from 60 yards before the game, right? He went up to Gary Kubiak, the head coach of the team, and told him, 60-yarder, no problem. First of all, Brandon McManus did not say a 62-yarder. That does not seem like much, but I will tell you, as a person who has tried to kick a field goal before, I can't hit from 10 yards. 60 yards is pretty impressive. 62 is up there almost record status long kick. That is an unbelievably long kick, even in Denver. And you mentioned the cold helps the ball travel, but the other side of that, the kicker's foot's also cold, and he's hitting a center block of a football in the freezing cold air. In one aspect, yeah, it is easier. It travels a little farther in the cold, but at the same time, you might not get a great swing on it, which we saw Brandon McManus hit the ground a little bit before he hit that football, which kind of caused the odd flight in the air, ending in a missed field goal. But he just wasn't ready for a 62-yard. Brandon McManus had never even attempted one half that long in a game. Well, of course, it was half that long. 57 yards was his very longest kick. That kick came in week two, 2 years ago, in the nice conditions, nice weather, perfect day outside, about 75 degrees, I'm guessing. No problems in the world. Sunday night, that was a whole different story. Bad conditions, super long kick. McManus is not the pressure kicker that we've all seen, like Gostkowski and Vinatieri. He's just not that guy. He's got the ability to boot the ball, maybe not 62 yards to win the game.
Well, you're wrong, and that's okay. And the Broncos lost, and that's definitely okay. We got to run to break, guys. When we come back, we got more Broncos talk coming on Necessary Roughness. GoMileHigh.com.
boy born in Joplin, Missouri, was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent, 1 in 260,000. The odds of him having 15 career NASCAR victories, 1 in 1.7 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism, 1 in 88. I'm Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
You must be your fairy godmother.
In the classic fairy tale, Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in there.
Especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size.
Oh, that does make a difference.
To make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Hop in for you.
Thank you.
Remember, you're responsible for protecting your children. Their happily ever afters are in your hands. For even more information about choosing the right car seat, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Still have gifts to buy for the holidays? Come by Young American Center and find exquisite handmade gifts, jewelry, food, artwork, toys, and much more. Made and sold by more than 75 young entrepreneurs. Support our Youth Biz Marketplace on Saturday, December 3rd from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 3550 East 1st Avenue, Denver, Colorado. Or stop by on Saturday, December 10th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at our Belmar location, 401 South Pier Street, Lakewood, Colorado. It's the ultimate buy local experience. For more information, go to yacenter.org.
Hello, this is Robin Zanner.
Hello, this is Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick for Rad.
Some people think it's fun to drive drunk, but that's unacceptable.
Be smart. If you drink,
don't drive.
Think ahead and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
All right, hello everybody. This is Necessary Roughness on GoMileHigh.com. I'm Logan Massaro, one of your co-hosts. I got my guy Tony Shuck sitting here next to me. He thinks he won that last segment, everybody. Just to let you know, that is false. I definitely won, as in I have won every single segment up to this point. Ben, thank you so much for doing the boards for us again today. As always, what's our next question?
So our next question here was Aqib Talib out of line for pushing Norwood after the fourth quarter muffed punt return? Is his baggage worth the talent?
So my question is this. Is he wrong? I mean, Norwood screwed up, right? Twice.
Yeah. In one game.
The guy really only has one job. Catch the ball on special teams. That's it.
You don't even have to run with them.
You could raise your hand in the air, signal a fair catch, and everything's going to be okay. He got lucky the first time. It was the second quarter, I believe, the first muff punt.
Yep.
He was able to recover it. But then in the fourth quarter, and they're down at this point,
yep,
he muffs it. It bounces off his face shield, and Kansas State dives on the ball, turns that into points. Aqib Talib's not wrong. He's costing them the game. The defense is playing their hearts out here. They're doing everything they can. They get the three and out they're looking for. And Norwood gives the ball right back to them. I mean, listen, I'm not saying put hands on players. If you're a player, you probably shouldn't strike, shove, push, whatever, another player. But you got to get your head into the game. And Aqib Talib's not necessarily the guy you want to be the one doing this. With his baggage, he shot himself in the leg. He's had numerous, was it last year, 15-yard penalty for the eye gouge in the playoffs. So he's no poster boy for doing the right thing on the field. Don't get me wrong. I get it. But he's also talented. He can play about three positions on the field, any cornerback slot. I swear to you, by the time he retires, he'll be a safety. He's just got that kind of skill set. So the second part of this question is he worth the baggage? Oh, yeah. He's worth the baggage. I get it. Denver's got Roby. They've got Harris. They've got a safety core. So is he expendable? Sure. But is it worth losing? No. You keep that guy on the field. That's probably the best 1-2 tandem at cornerback there is. So, yeah, I get it. It's probably not the smartest thing to do, push another guy that's on your team. But that guy needed to get his head in the game. And quite frankly, the coach should have pulled him after that. And he's worth it.
All right, Tony. One thing that I want to say before I get into my side of the argument is you mentioned the face shield that it bounced off, that the punt was muffed off of at the end of the game there. One thing I've never understood is players wearing those dark face shields at night. I didn't play a high level of football. My highest level of football was I played in high school. I was a wide receiver, and I thought I'd be all cool, and I had a clear face shield that I wore for about 2 weeks. I couldn't see anything. I couldn't see my own hand 10 feet in front of me on Friday night in the lights, Tony. It is incredibly dark at night when you add those face shields. And when I saw it bounce off of his face, I just had to shake my head because I haven't been in that specific situation. I haven't been in an NFL game trying to catch a punt. But I have been there at 7 o'clock after high school football practice trying to catch punts from the punter who wanted a little extra work after practice for whatever reason, because God knows we weren't punting the ball. It was high school football. We were going for it, but he wants some extra work. I'm out there trying to catch the punts with my face shield on. Can't see a thing. They're bouncing off my head, my hands, my knees, anywhere they can hit, they're taking off. Now, Tlaib, he definitely is out of line here because Aqib Tlaib is one of the leaders of the Denver Broncos. And when your leader counts somebody out like Aqib Tlaib counted Jordan Norwood out, Jordan Norwood plays arguably the most mental position in all of football. As a punt returner, you're literally standing 60 yards away from your closest player, staring into the sky, not seeing the 230, 240-pound men running at you with a 60-yard sprinting head start to try and take your head off. And you can't look at them. You have to look up in the air at the football through your face shield nonetheless. And then you have to try to run with it afterwards. So Jordan Norwood has a very hard job, and it's all mental. If you start to get into your own head, you're going to muff every single punt. You're not going to be calling fair catches, and you're going to get lit up when you should be just walking off the field with the football. So Aqib Tlaib, I understand where he's coming from. I am a very competitive person, and when I see someone that is performing at a lesser job than I am at least trying to perform at, I get very, very angry. But I have to hold it in because I'm not a pro football player. I can't just punch people that are doing things wrong and get away with it. Aqib Tlaib has that luxury, but he should not, because every player on every team should be treated as an equal. I was listening to the radio today, and an NFL player said, and I won't say the name, an NFL player said, I came out there and I thought of every player on my level because I didn't start out as a Hall of Famer. This was a Hall of Fame football player. He said, I did not start out as a Hall of Famer. I came in and had to work my way and claw my way to the top, and it took a long time to get there and a lot of effort. So I always counted the little guys in. Tony, I don't think Aqib Tlaib could be more out of line with what he did. That is really how you break up a team.
Well, I don't think it is. Because I think there's other people who can play that position. I think every position's mental. And if you can't get your head right, if you're going to cost your team, you need to be penalized one way or another. And he's a leader on that defense, but somebody needed to straighten that kid out. And if that's how he wanted to do it, and then he since apologized and he said that they're good. But in the heat of the moment, man, I can't blame him for that. I can't blame him. You're costing me the game. I'm playing my position right. You get paid to do one thing. Put your hand in the air. If you're worried about getting hit, put your hand in the air, catch the ball. Get a paycheck.
See, here's the deal. You want to know what Aqib Tlaib did in the beginning of his career? He returned punts. Aqib Tlaib muffed 2 punts before being pulled as the Buccaneers punt returner. After that, he shortly returned punts for the Patriots. Did not last that long. Aqib Tlaib needs to kind of look in the mirror and realize might not be as easy as it looks out there, and cut Jordan Norwood some slack because he's his teammate.
Or maybe he's the only one who truly understands, which is why I gave him the push. We'll find out when the season continues to see if they can continue to get along. When we come back, guys, we got yet more Broncos talk on Necessary Roughness. GoMileHigh.com.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Romaine. As a former model, I used to walk runways all over the world. Paris, Milan, New York. This is Salif Diarra. As a local health worker, he walks the pathways of his village in Mali, West Africa, every day to help treat severely ill children. Like many children in the developing world, those in Salif's village are threatened by common illnesses that kill millions worldwide. But unlike villages without a local health worker, the children in Salif's village get the care they need to survive. And even though you can't walk in his shoes, you can help him with his work. Help one, save many. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help get the good where it needs to go. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Frank Beard of ZZ Top for Rad. If you're out partying and drinking, and we all know that happens sometimes, please don't get behind the wheel. Give up the keys to a designated driver. Please don't drink and drive.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
All right, everybody, come back from the break. This is Necessary Roughness on GoMileHigh.com. I'm your host, Logan Massaro, sitting here with my co-host, Tony Shuck. We are about to get into our next topic. Not sure. We just lost the music. Think everything should still be fine, though.
It's
all right, Ben.
I just turned it off.
Oh, Ben turned the music off really abruptly. It scared me a little bit. I'm sorry, everybody. Ben, if you could give me a little bit more of a warning next time you want to turn the music off on me, much appreciated.
No, I'll keep you on the edge there. But our next question here is, did Benny Fowler cost the Broncos game?
I personally think Benny Fowler, he didn't cost the Broncos the game, but he definitely could have won it. Now, that sounds weird because we obviously saw Benny Fowler had a 70-yard touchdown pass over the shoulder from Trevor Siemian. But on that specific play, here's what Benny Fowler could have done differently to help the Broncos. Benny Fowler could have taken a knee at the 1 or 2 yard line. He could have ran all the way down there. He had a 10-yard head start. He could have got onto all four, stopped, turned into the fetal position and said, I declare myself down on the 1 yard line. He was that far ahead of everybody, and that would have possibly won the Broncos the game. Here's why I say that. There's 3 minutes left. Kansas City had just used their last timeout. If Benny Fowler goes down on the 1 yard line and the Broncos kneel the ball 3 times or even try to run it in 3 times and still get that touchdown, if they are able to get all 3 plays off successfully, even with the 2 minute warning, there's only going to be about a minute 20 left on the clock. At that point in time, the Broncos could have kicked the field goal, had the 4-point lead, or if they were able to bust it in on the third down play, then they go up by the touchdown, still have to get 8 points for the Chiefs. Same scenario, but now the Chiefs have to go down the field in a minute and 20 seconds left. So Benny Fowler certainly didn't cost them that game, but if he changes his approach, there's a great chance that the Broncos are victorious at the end of the night instead of the fluke field goal hitting off the field goal post and going in the end of overtime.
You don't think he called bank on that? I thought I heard him call bank.
I don't think he called bank.
Personally. I think he called bank. I think he put his hand up Jordan style and said, bank?
I haven't heard anybody say that yet, but that is pretty funny. I don't think he, Paul Pierce, called bank.
I thought he did. I thought I heard it.
But that would have been funny if he did. I'll give you that. I would have given Carlos Santos some props for that. But my last little excerpt here on Benny Fowler, even if for some fluke reason Devonta Booker with the buttery hands comes out and he fumbles the ball and the Broncos are or the Chiefs are at the 1 yard line, they still have to go almost the full length of the field to get that 1 point that they need to beat the Broncos. Benny Fowler, obviously not thinking about it at that moment in time, but looking back on it now, I'm sure he definitely would have taken the knee if he had the chance.
I don't know that he would, and there's a few reasons why I disagree here, and it's not that you're wrong. I'm not going to say that you're wrong, because honestly, the smartest play would probably have been take a knee, but in the heat of the moment, this kid just caught the ball. He's about 15 yards ahead of everybody else. I mean, it looked like it was like Usain Bolt versus the Special Olympics. Like, no offense to the Special Olympics, but this guy had a head start.
He was far and away.
And it wasn't like the Jamal Charles scenario a few years back where he took a knee at the two to finish the game, because then it was a kneel down away from finishing the game with the lead. So in this scenario, 7 points still meant a lot. So I don't blame him for getting in there. You can't guarantee in no scenario that they win the game if he kneels. So you can't then put it on him that they lost the game because he didn't kneel. The best case scenario, I think, as you pointed out, was 40 seconds would be left on the clock, or roughly like 36 with some, you know, 2 second intervals here and there. And the Chiefs still have the ball to go drive down on a kick. And their special teams have been fairly well. They had moved the ball and got them fairly good field positioning. Sure, they would have had less time. But you can't put it on this kid. He wants to score a touchdown. And at the end of the day, when he's signing a new contract and you're looking at the stat sheet and you're saying, hey, coach, I got all these touchdowns, or, oh, I kneeled it at the two. Yeah, brains work, but touchdowns translate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to come contract time, that might mean a little bit more. I don't want this kid to go into the next day thinking, man, I cost my team the game. He didn't. The defense did. The defense needed to shut down the Chiefs when it mattered the most. Norwood did. He needed to catch the ball when it mattered the most. There were a lot of things that were more important to this game than him not running that ball in for the touchdown.
Yeah, and I think it would have been nice for the Jumbotron operator to just get on there and put a little Benny stop on the Jumbotron.
Are we serious? Did we just go Forrest Gump on this one?
Yes,
where they put the stop, Forrest stop,
Lord,
on there?
Let's go Forrest Gump on this. One of my favorite movies of all time. I think that is perfect in this scenario, because exactly what Benny needed to do was stop right there at the 2 yard line. They take a few kneel downs, hopefully still drive in that ball on third down for the touchdown. Go up by 8. Kansas City has less than 2 minutes to go down there with the ball. It's just too foolproof to argue with, Tony. It's the best way to win that football game. And Benny Fowler, yeah, I know you say you don't want him feeling like he costed his team the game, but he kind of did. He's a young player. You think a Marvin Harrison in the prime of his career, or Reggie Wayne, or, I mean, we even saw Brandon Stokley when he was at the end of his career with the Broncos, catches the crazy tip pass, goes down the field 80 yards, and at least took the time to run across the field, waste a little more time off the clock. Even if he were to have done something like that, if he would have done anything, if he would have stood at the 1 yard line and wasted 10 more seconds off while the people slowly jogged to him, that's 10 more seconds that the Chiefs wouldn't have had to try to go down there and score on the Broncos. He kind of cost his team the game. Sorry, Benny, but it is what it is.
See, I don't agree with it, because when you look at it, how many times have we seen special teams, even they grab the ball, they catch the ball, and they take off running when they shouldn't go and run. The excitement gets to you, the adrenaline gets to you. It's not your job to think about that. It's your job to score. That's what you get paid money to do.
It's
is
your
get
job
it in the
to be
end zone.
The best football player you can, Tony.
And I think he was, by scoring the touchdown. I think he did his team the best service, because quite honestly, with the way that game was going, there's a really good chance Booker does fumble, something happens, and the Chiefs win sooner. But either way, the Broncos lose, so I'm a happy man.
Tony, I know you are a hater. All right, we are going to go to the break. That is going to conclude all of our Broncos talk for the day. When we get back, we are going to talk a little bit about how the Ravens ended their spectacular game this last Sunday. All that and more. Necessary Roughness. GoMileHigh.com.
We'll be right back. be your fairy godmother?
In the classic fairy tale, Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in there.
Especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size.
Oh, that does make a difference.
To make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Hop in for you.
Thank you.
Remember, you're responsible for protecting your children. Their happily ever afters are in your hands. For even more information about choosing the right car seat, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Still have gifts to buy for the holidays? Come by Young American Center and find exquisite handmade gifts, jewelry, food, artwork, toys, and much more. Made and sold by more than 75 young entrepreneurs. Support our Youth Biz Marketplace on Saturday, December 3rd from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 3550 East 1st Avenue, Denver, Colorado. Or stop by on Saturday, December 10th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at our Belmar location, 401 South Pier Street, Lakewood, Colorado. It's the ultimate buy local experience. For more information, go to yacenter.org.
Oh! You are round MVP.
Yeah, man! Yo, Drew, I finally got round MVP. Round MVP.
No way. That was some ownage.
Finally earning round MVP takes determination. So will getting into college. I've got what it takes. So do you.
Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Start taking the steps at knowhowtogo.org. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Baby, you can drive my car.
Hi, I'm Edward James Olmos. I'm here to talk to you about RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Think about it. You have choices that you can make in your life, good choices and bad ones. Drinking and driving, bad choice. Why? The life you may take may even be your own. Think about it. Drinking and driving doesn't mix. Get a designated driver.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Necessary Roughness on GoMileHigh.com in the beautiful Lakewood, Colorado. I am Ben. I'm joined here by Tony and Logan, and we are on our fourth question today. Fourth question is, was the way the Ravens ended their game against the Bengals smart, dumb, or unsportsmanlike?
All right, Ben. So first of all, I'd like to tell you, you can have a little fun in here. What we're doing here is fun, Ben. You don't have to read it like such a robot, like you're scared to mess up or something. I mean, I'm going to hit you if you do mess up, but not that hard.
I'd like to see you try.
I got your back, Ben. I got your back.
Thank you, Tony. Whoa. For once.
Well, yeah, you always got his back. That's because you guys work together on these debate things. That's why everyone's always saying I'm losing. It's all phony, guys. Don't listen to him. All right, on to the Ravens' end-of-game shenanigans, as I would like to call them. Thought it was absolutely ridiculous. First of all, that's not a football play. That's not something you do in football. You don't intentionally go out there trying to cause penalties. That's like saying Richard Sherman should just run into the kicker every single time so that he has a chance of hurting him and that kicker coming off the field. Is that what we want to bring the NFL to, is just constantly, purposely doing penalties? No, come on. That is just a joke. As if you guys don't know what the Ravens did, they had a punt with the last few seconds of the game. They call the snap. The punter just runs around back there while every single person on the Ravens team grabs another member of the Bengals and just holds him until the end of the game. It's a bunch of nonsense, really. It really showed me that John Harbaugh did not trust his team to win that game. He thought that his team would go out there and do something to lose it, because why else would you have to find a loophole in the rules and exploit it? If I were confident in my team, I would say, okay, we have great special teams and a great defense. I'm going to kick this ball away and trust them to work off the last 3 to 5 seconds that'll be left on the clock. First of all, my punter's going to punt it high enough that there's not going to be any time left anyhow. Even if they do fair catch it, they're going to have 3 or 4 seconds to try to throw a Hail Mary after my punter just sent a boot of a punt 70 yards. It's just not going to happen. I trust that the Ravens could have won that game on their own without having to exploit a stupid little loophole in the rules. And now I think it's going to force the NFL to go and change the rule. So I think it's all just unnecessary. Just play football next time. Please, Baltimore Ravens.
This was the most genius move in probably football history. Like, this is Belichickian.
I figured you would have something like that to say this just is, because listen, you're a hater.
I'm not a hater. I'm not even hating on it. This was genius. Listen, you, Herm Edwards said it. You play to win the game. How do you win the game? You can do this. I don't know why more teams don't take advantage of things like this. You see it in college football, and college football quarterbacks have been yelled at for not running around in the backfield for as long as they can and taking a knee to squander as much clock as possible, right? We see it all the time. This is the same thing. You just had to hold them because the field of possession was so small that they couldn't ensure that the time would be taken off. So you commit the penalty, because in the NFL, if the offense commits a penalty, there's no additional clock add-on. It's not like if the defense does it, you can't end the game on a defensive penalty.
Yeah, there would be an untimed down in
exactly
that situation.
So that's not the case here. So you commit as much holding as possible. You run around like a ridiculous human being in the end zone until the clock's gone, and then you take your safety.
See, and I'm fine with them running around, Tony. It's everybody going and finding a guy and playing huggy boo boo.
But that's the only way. That's the only way the play works, though. You can't do it without it. Now, if this were, like, let's just say they were at the 30-yard line, right? Okay, well, you don't need to commit a holding penalty because you have 30 yards behind you to run. They weren't that far out of the end zone. They had to commit the penalty. And the reason why this worked, if this would have happened in the end zone, so if holding would have been committed in the end zone, then you can't end the game on that play. So yes, it was genius even more so because they knew the field positioning was perfect for this, and they made it work. But it was still risky. Just because you're going to try to grab as many people as you can on the Cincinnati Bengals side doesn't mean it was going to work. There's a good chance that they could have not only have gotten the safety by tackling the punter in the end zone, but then had time on the clock to get the ball back and do something. But you never, just like in MMA and boxing, you never leave it in the hands of the judges, right? You never leave a football game in the hands of special teams, because we've seen time and time again ridiculous punt returns. The Philadelphia Eagles versus the Giants a few years back, where they run it all the way down. All they had to do was stop one guy. One. Anything can happen. A guy can fall. Somebody could get held and not, and they don't call it. There's a million variables on special teams where a guy can go from one side of the field to the end zone and cost you the game. This was a guaranteed win. Guaranteed. So what's wrong with it? Because it's a manipulation of the rules? That's not his fault. He didn't make the rules. He's just using what's there. He's not even exploiting them. They're written there. He's doing what's available. And he won the game. That's the end game. And it was against a division rival. I don't know what more you could ask for him.
Tony, I can promise you, if I go look up the NFL rule book right now, I'm not going to find a rule in there that says, if you have less than 10 seconds left on the clock and you're in perfect field position, don't worry about it. Just hold everybody, well, because we'll end the game and give you guys the W.
That's not a rule, though. That's advice.
Yeah,
the rule is that's you can't end on.
That's called a loophole, Tony. That's not a loophole. Found a loophole in that rule, because the rule does not state to do that specific thing in that situation. It says go out there and play football. They aren't out there playing football. They're out hugging each other like a bunch of weirdos and just making a fool of themselves, really. Here's the deal. Was Harbaugh really that worried? Because they don't necessarily even have to punt it to somebody. Punt the dang thing out of bounds. Punt it 60 yards out of bounds. It's still going to be at the 30-yard line on the other side of the field. Are you that worried about Dalton throwing the ball 70 yards for a Hail Mary with no A.J. Green? If you are, then you have no confidence in your defense, and you need to give them a little love, because that's a great defense. Stop hating on them so much.
But what you're saying, though, is do I have confidence in? Do I have confidence in? I don't need to have confidence in. I won the game.
Yeah.
I won the game. End of discussion. At the end of the season, how do you get in the playoffs?
You got to win the games.
You got to win the games. You got to win the games. If you don't win the games, you don't make the playoffs. If you kick that ball, you might lose the game. We got to go, guys. When we come back, we're talking playoffs, wild card race. Who's in? Who's not? Contenders versus pretenders. Necessary roughness. GoMileHigh.com.
gifts to buy for the holidays? Come by Young American Center and find exquisite handmade gifts, jewelry, food, artwork, toys, and much more. Made and sold by more than 75 young entrepreneurs. Support our Youth Biz Marketplace on Saturday, December 3rd from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 3550 East 1st Avenue, Denver, Colorado. Or stop by on Saturday, December 10th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at our Belmar location, 401 South Pier Street, Lakewood, Colorado. It's the ultimate buy local experience. For more information, go to yacenter.org.
Oh! You are round MVP.
Yeah, man! Yo, Drew, I finally got round MVP. Round MVP.
No way. That was some ownage. It's a good thing you got me as your wingman.
Right. You mean when you threw that flash grenade at me?
Whatever, man. Huge round. Seriously, great stuff.
Finally earning round MVP takes determination. So will getting into college. I've got what it takes.
All right, class. I'm going to pass back your tests. And a high score goes to... Brian.
Oh, yeah. High score, baby.
We're all good at something. Maybe it's breakdancing or skateboarding or video games. Whatever you're good at, you have the skills to make it happen. And those same skills will help you get to college. Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Start taking the steps at knowhowtogo.org.
I've got what it takes. So do you.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Did you know that birthday parties help build confidence in kids?
Yeah. Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Oh, totally. Did you know that friendly kids have more friends?
Everybody knows that.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I'm a champion, realize checks mechanism. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hi, Shaquille O'Neal for Rad. This is not your normal PSA. Don't be stupid. Don't drink and drive. If you're going to go out and have a good time, it's fine. But designate a driver to drive home. Let's stop the madness. Don't drink and drive.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Good evening, and welcome back to Necessary Roughness on GoMileHigh.com. And I'm sorry if I'm talking like a robot, but that's just me. Anyways, you want to hear our fifth question now, guys?
I would love to.
Give it to us, Ben.
Yeah, all right. So here it is. Who are the pretenders and the contenders in the wild card race?
So right now, and I'll start with the AFC. It's a battle, and it's a fun one for me because I think there's a lot of variables in this right now. But I think you're going to need to win 10 games to even make the wild card. So let's just start with our division leaders. You've got the Patriots. They'll probably stay there. The Raiders, I think they'll stay there. I think with the Broncos losing, that helped them out. I think the only other contender to win that division out might have been, and we'll get to the Chiefs in a minute. You've got the Ravens winning, or right now they're ahead in the AFC North. I don't think that's going to stand. And then you've got the Texans in the AFC South. So you look right now, you're 5-6. You're looking at the Chiefs and the Dolphins. Now, I'm a Dolphins fan. I would love to see my Dolphins actually make the playoffs, despite the fact that I think we'll lose in the first round versus anybody there.
Maybe not the Texans.
Maybe not. But I don't think the Texans are going to be in the playoffs. Here's my switches. I don't think the Ravens end up winning the North. I think Pittsburgh comes back. I think they get healthy and they win out the rest of the games they need to win and they make the playoffs. That's going to knock Baltimore completely out. They're from in it to completely out. You go to the Texans. I think Tennessee steals that division last minute, and I don't think the Texans' record gets them in. So where do we sit? Well, I think the Chiefs are in. I think the Chiefs make the wild card spot fairly easily. The remaining schedule, really, I think it's the Broncos are the only tough game, but it's at home in Arrowhead, so that's the advantage. So I think that they can sneak in there. And from there, it's the Broncos or my Dolphins. And you put a gun to my head, I got to pick the Dolphins. Like, I have to do it. I think the Dolphins sneak in because they have an easier remaining schedule. They play New England again. That's going to be a tough game, but it's at Miami. There's a chance. I'm not saying it's a good one, but there's a chance. So that's who I like there. When we go to the NFC, and I'll make this one a little bit quicker, the guys for me, locks, kind of where it sits right now, because it's a weak division. Once you get outside of the playoffs, it drops off hard. I think your division leaders are right where they are. And I think it's going to pretty much go Atlanta and either the Lions or the Giants. I don't know who between them, but one of the two get in. Neither one's going to do much damage.
All right, so I'll start out in the AFC. And obviously, I think the Patriots are going to stick right where they are. They'll probably be the first seed in the whole playoffs, have home field division. No reason for any of that to change. The Raiders, I think, continue their little streak they have going on here. And I do think that they'll wind up with the second seed right behind the Patriots. Now, that leaves the Dolphins. Well, as it looks right now, the Dolphins, the Ravens, the Chiefs, and the Texans would all be in the playoffs if it were to come down to today. My change I have, I don't think the Steelers come back and beat the Ravens. I do like the Ravens this year. I think that their defense is very good. And I think the Steelers, they really are missing Heath Miller a lot more than people are talking about. He was a very reliable target on third down for Big Ben, and they have struggled pretty heavily in the tight end position. Ladarius Green has not really panned out. We saw them try Jesse James earlier on the season. Seemed like there's a promise there. They didn't continue with it. Leads me to believe they weren't all that fond of Jesse James. I don't think the Steelers this year get after the Ravens. After that, I think that the Texans will continue and they will win that division. I am a huge fan right now of the Titans. I think that the role they're on is great, but I just don't think that they'll hold out with a tougher schedule coming up to end the season. They do play the Broncos coming up here fairly soon. That's always a difficult game if you're an offensive team, because the Broncos are a very defensive-based team and the Titans lack a very they're not even a really average defense. They're a little below average defense right now. So the Dolphins, I think the Dolphins do sneak in over my Broncos this year. It kills me to say that, but in the long run, what helps you win in this league is balance. Everybody says that defense wins championships. Well, what gets you to those championships is balance. There's no way that the Broncos, as bad as their offense has been, and I know that Trevor Siemian looked okay yesterday, everyone can chill out a little bit. Trevor Siemian threw off his back foot and was lobbing the ball into the air and just got lucky that his receivers had 10-yard head starts on their cornerbacks. You're not always going to have that. If you just sit there and lob them off your back foot, you're going to throw a lot of picks, Trevor Siemian, so don't get too used to that. Saying that, I think he does get a little too used to it. He starts gunning the ball a little too much, and they're going to start turning the ball over more. I think that really could be a problem for the Broncos if he continues trying to sling it around like he did last week. The Dolphins, on the other hand, have a very balanced team. Their defense is outstanding. They have Ndamukong Suh with Cameron Wake and Mario Williams coming off the edge. I know those guys are older guys, but those are some of my favorite pass rushers of all time. Both are just vicious to quarterbacks and extremely hard to block. I do think that they take that last spot from the Broncos in the wild card race. I just don't think that the Broncos win enough games at the end of the year. They still have to play Kansas City in Kansas City. They have to play Oakland, and they have to play the Patriots. Those are a lot of hard, hard games to win. I just don't think the Broncos win enough games again in the playoffs this year, and I think the Dolphins do. Going on to the NFC, the Cowboys, Seahawks, Redskins, Lions, Giants, and Falcons are all in it as of right now. But I think my wild card teams at the end of the year will be, right now, I think that the Giants should be in the playoffs. They've won six straight. I just think that that's a good team. The Skins are one of my favorite teams that nobody talks about because I love Kirk Cousins. Always got a great defense. I think the Redskins definitely should be in it. The Buccaneers, I think, will be a sneaky team to make it in it. And that leaves the Vikings as my pretenders. The Vikings are not a very good team. They will get knocked out of the playoffs. You will not see them in January or February. It'll be game over for the Vikings. We are going to go to break, and when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about Aaron Rodgers, who's been under a lot of flack as of lately. Is he still a top five quarterback in your opinion? Hear my opinion more. Also, Tony's opinion, I guess, if you guys care to listen to it. GoMileHigh.com, Necessary Roughness.
You didn't give up on sex. Don't give up on birth control either. There are more methods than you think. Visit Bedsider.org to compare all the choices. Brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council. Bedsider.org.
Still have gifts to buy for the holidays? Come by Young American Center and find exquisite handmade gifts. Jewelry, food, artwork, toys, and much more. Made and sold by more than 75 young entrepreneurs. Support our Youth Biz Marketplace on Saturday, December 3rd from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 3550 East 1st Avenue, Denver, Colorado. Or stop by on Saturday, December 10th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at our Belmar location, 401 South Pier Street, Lakewood, Colorado. It's the ultimate buy local experience. For more information, go to yacenter.org.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Romaine. As a former model, I used to walk runways all over the world. Paris, Milan, New York. This is Salif Diarra. As a local health worker, he walks the pathways of his village in Mali, West Africa, every day to help treat severely ill children. Like many children in the developing world, those in Salif's village are threatened by common illnesses that kill millions worldwide. But unlike villages without a local health worker, the children in Salif's village get the care they need to survive. And even though you can't walk in his shoes, you can help him with his work. Help one, save many. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help get the good where it needs to go. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Remember when your neighbor found us naked in the car and the time some outdoor action got us kicked out?
Didn't give up on sex. Don't give up on birth control either. There are more methods than you think. Visit Bedsider.org to compare all the choices. Brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council. Bedsider.org.
All right, back here on Necessary Roughness, GoMileHigh.com. I'm your host, Logan Massaro. Got my co-host, Punching Bag Tony Shuck, sitting next to me, Ben in the booth. For our last question of the day, what do we have, Benjamin?
Our last question of the day, is Aaron Rodgers still a top five quarterback?
He is 100% still a top five quarterback. Are the Green Bay Packers a top five team? Oh, no. The Green Bay Packers are hot freaking garbage right now, but I can't put that on Aaron Rodgers. And a lot of people, this is the unfair aspect of being a quarterback in the NFL. When you play quarterback, you are the go-to guy to blame when you lose, despite the fact that you're not the go-to guy to blame when you win. Aaron Rodgers, statistically, is the sixth best quarterback when it comes to yards. He's second in touchdowns, 16th in interceptions. He's 12th overall in quarterback rating. Those are good numbers. He's doing what he can. The problem is the offensive line's garbage. The defense couldn't stop a runny nose right now, so they're not winning these games. Not to mention their schedule hasn't necessarily been the easiest schedule in the world. It isn't like he's got 27 touchdowns and 20 interceptions. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not turning the ball over. This isn't on him. I've seen Aaron Rodgers on his behind more than I've seen him upright more often than not in these games. So, no, I can't put these losses on him, and I still have to hold him to what he is. He's a great quarterback. If I were drafting a team right now, I'd take Aaron Rodgers in a fantasy draft right now over, you know, 27 other guys. He's top five for me. Might be number one still.
So here's the deal, Tony. I still think Aaron Rodgers is very good. I think you're right about that. He's not lost any ability. He's getting smarter as time goes. As you said, he's only thrown six interceptions this year. That's a pretty good number this deep into the season. The problem with Aaron Rodgers is what makes you a good quarterback is the team around you. And if the team around you doesn't trust you and doesn't think highly of you, then – You've got no prayer. And I think it's gotten to that point with Aaron Rodgers. We hear about him and his teammates getting his scuffles and how he's too into finger pointing. He doesn't like to take any blame on his own, which is not very common for quarterbacks. Most quarterbacks, if they lose a game, will take all of the blame, put it on their shoulders. That was a Peyton Manning or Tom Brady type of thing to do. And that brings me to my next point is players, average players play much better with quarterbacks that they like. There are a lot of receivers out there. Eric Decker's very good, but when Eric Decker played with Peyton Manning, he was outstanding. Eric Decker was probably a top 10 receiver at that point in his career just because he had Peyton Manning. We've seen what he can do with Ryan Fitzpatrick out there in New York, and it's still decent, but nowhere near the production. So you've got to have the backing of your players, and if every time something goes wrong, you go out and you point the finger at your players, that's not what they're looking to hear. They're looking for their leader to go and say, you know what, that was my fault. I should have done better there. I should have won us the game. And he doesn't do that. That's not the kind of guy Aaron Rodgers is. He's not a stand-up guy like that. We've seen that throughout the years. My next point is I can name a bunch of guys I would rather have than Aaron Rodgers on my team. To start off, we'll go with Tom Brady, because why wouldn't you want Tom Brady on your team? If you can have Tom Brady, you take Tom Brady. Next, I love Cam Newton. Definitely would rather have Cam Newton on my team over Aaron Rodgers any day of the week. Russell Wilson, who I think is probably the best quarterback in the league besides Tom Brady right now, I would also take. I have a few others. Kirk Cousins, kind of a surprise. I would take him over Aaron Rodgers. I think Kirk Cousins is more on schedule, and I think he's more accurate as a quarterback, and I think that his team loves him. His team absolutely loves Kirk Cousins. I watched a mic'd up of him. Kirk Cousins is a great guy from what I can tell and from what I hear from all his fellow teammates. Kirk Cousins is a great guy. I would take him over Aaron Rodgers. Other guys are Drew Brees, Big Ben Roethlisberger, Matt Ryan, Stafford, Derek Carr. I think all of these guys look better than Aaron Rodgers. So not only would I say Rodgers is no longer a top five quarterback, I don't even know if he's top 10 for me, Tony.
So, but you've just proved to me that you don't know quarterbacks, because you just told me the 27th best quarterback, the 21st, and the 14th are better than the 6th.
We're talking quarterbacks, not teams.
I'm talking quarterbacks. Tom Brady's ranked 27th overall. Cam Newton's 21st overall. And Russell Wilson's 14th. Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than all of them by the numbers this year, 6th overall. But you yourself would rather have these subpar quarterbacks on your team. So you must like losing, which is a trend here on Necessary Roughness, because we know Tony just won again.
Tony did not win because Tony likes to read stats to you guys and pretend that his fantasy team would be 10 times better than mine. There's no chance if
Ben
your team
won.
Has Aaron
Tony
Rodgers.
Won. Tony won. Tony won. Ben called it. Tony won.
Ben's got a weird bromance for you, Tony.
Well,
I don't
who
know
doesn't?
About
Have you
that.
Seen me? I'm pretty awesome.
I've seen you. It's not there for me. I'm sorry.
All right, guys. We got to go. It's been a fun show. I cannot wait to come back next week to do it. We are on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado Media School. You can find us at Rough Debate on Twitter and on the Facebook at Necessary Roughness Radio. I'm Tony Shuck.
I'm Logan Massaro.
I'm Ben Denley.
We'll see you guys next week.